First of all, thank you for taking your time and thank you for presenting the film The Circle at Docs Festival. We are very happy to have the film and now to have the opportunity to talk to you. And I would like to start basically at the start, because your film brings together, I feel, quite a lot of different things on a topical level. It talks about things like racism or dealing with feelings of loss. And on an aesthetic level, it brings together cinema, choreography, music, a lot of different elements. So could you tell us a bit about what was the starting point of the film?
The starting point of the film was me, my life. And, you know, I was brought up in a council estate. I come from a working class family, so I was brought up in a council estate in Hackney, East London, in the UK. And I remember growing up, and it was pre gentrification, pre the Olympics. I was there for 25 years, and it was tough at times, because when you're coming from an underprivileged background, living in an area where there's a bit more poverty, it was tough. But there was a lot of beauty, a lot of joy in and around the area and in and around the people in that area. However, there were always, and to an extent still are, stigmas that are attached, especially to young black men who are born and bred in council estates and live in council estates, who wear tracksuits, you know, jogging bottoms and their clothing, and they're judged by the way that they look. Society doesn't see these young men and think that these men have, you know, beating hearts in their chests, that they have the ability to feel an abundance of love, that they have the ability to understand and feel brotherhood and know, you know, emotional connections, right? So I really wanted to kind of challenge the stigma and explore my experiences of being, you know, put in a box at times, and a lot of these young men's experiences now, today.
If you say it was also about basically your life and yourself and the experiences you had, can you tell us a bit why your protagonists in the film became David and Sanchez, how you found them, and why you decided, for example, to tell about your experience through them?
You know, that's what it started as, and I should probably have said that. It started as me wanting to explore my experiences, but knowing that my experience was a shared one, right? But then I met those two young men. I used to go to a youth group called Hackney Quest, which is in Hackney, East London, which is where the film was shot. I remember when I got the funding to do this film, basically the award to do this film from the BFI Doc Society, and I was like, okay, great. Now, who are going to be my protagonists? Who are going to be the contributors? I was thinking, okay, I want to get onto the street and just start speaking to people. So I was ready to get on the road and just start speaking to young black men around the area. But then the first thing I did was like, let me just email Hackney Quest. You know, I went there over 18 years ago, and I emailed them, and I was like, you know, the woman's called Colette who runs it. She's incredible. And I was like, look, Colette, I hope you're well. I haven't spoken to you in a long time. Hi, this is what I'm doing at the moment. I've got this project. Do you have any young men that you think could be right for this? And then she said, I've got these two young men. They're actually brothers. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. We'd love you to meet them. Met them. And I showed them like my first film that I made called Figure, which was this black and white film, 6 minutes. And just to try and kind of get across the feeling of the movement that will be explored and the emotional kind of stories that I want to tell through the movement. And they were like, yeah, we're in. And so I met them out. We went for a meal and we just spoke for, you know, about 2 hours. And I was just, my mind was blown, because, you know, the experiences that I went through back then, yes, they experienced the same things, but things like mental health and their issues that they're going through, it's at an even younger age. Like they're 17, well, they turned 18 once we filmed. And, you know, the experiences they've gone through just at the age of 18 is like beyond of course, you don't want to compare anyone's experience, but it's just beyond even what I thought these young men were going through. They're holding so much in their hearts and on their chests, yet they still have an abundance of love to give. And it started from me, as it always does, and grows from whoever's being involved in the piece, in the project, in the thing. But in this case, especially because it's a documentary, it was even more so, you know?
Maybe let's take up the word that you used, the word experiences, because I think this is kind of, for me, like a term that is at the center of your work, because there are a number of ways in that film through which experiences are articulated, right? It's voices on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's cinema as a machine, the way the camera moves, montage and things like that. And then there is the choreography of the dancing. Could you explain a little bit how you think these three relate to each other in your work? Because you are, as an artist, you are a choreographer, dancer, and filmmaker, and actor, actually.
Yeah. It's so interesting because essentially it's just, for me, it's telling a story with emotional integrity, right? I think that's the core of the work, and it should always be in serving that. Of course, then you want to figure out how you tell that story and how to do that in an engaging way in order to get to the heart of the thing. And movement has an incredible capacity to tell stories, to tell emotional stories that we as human beings sometimes can't find the words to say or put words into or onto. And yeah, there's something just about merging movement, words, and film, cinema, that I have just taken to. You know, I don't sit down and break it all down, to be honest, and go, yes, it's because of this and this and this. I just feel it in my gut of seeing a visual, physical piece and just seeing it cinematically and going, okay, this is telling an emotional, impactful story. And so, yeah, I just kind of work from the story, the thing that I want to tell, and how do I challenge the audience through that? How do I lead them down one path and then take them down another? And cinema specifically is a beautiful tool to be able to do that, as well as sound and music. Sound and music was a really important part for me. I worked really closely with my sound designer, sound composer, musician, Jan Baranowski, who's incredible. And we just worked from the ground up, really, of exploring the sounds, almost the emotional sound of these young men through the music. And so, like, for example, the scene where the young men talk about father figures, and you've got this beautiful kind of swelling sound that you have that builds from the top and grows. There's something about that, you know, I think of the overflowing love and the kind of heartbeat of these men that just continues to build and build, especially when we get to that point in the film, which is around halfway, three quarters through. And so moments like that really, for me, really link into who these men are, and to be able to have sound and music to do that is an incredible thing. And you know, I for me, they all sew into each other, basically. It's a kind of really fluid process. The music is the film, the movement is the film, the way it's shot, the camera movement is the film. It's not just a document, do you know what I mean? They all work for each other and with each other.
Mm-hmm. And so how can I imagine your working process? So you start having, for example, a conversation with David and Sanchez, and then you need to communicate with your dancers what they told you. You need to communicate with your composer, and then you start working on a choreography. So is the choreography kind of the result from the conversations, or how would you say they relate to each other in your working process?
It changes for every project. For this particular project, I said, and I was very strong, and I'm so happy we got it, because it wasn't going to happen originally because of dates and timings, but I was like, I need to speak to these men first. I need to speak to them first. I need to speak to them first. Importantly, I need to see them speak, because I knew that as they were, when we were doing the interviews and seeing how they would like express themselves physically, not just the words they were saying, were going to be so important. And I just knew it. I didn't, because that for me was really, I'm always interested in the things we say physically without us consciously knowing about it, right? Mm-hmm. You saw there's that point in the film where he does this movement with his hands and mm-hmm. then the dancer, and I remember him doing that, and I was like, yes, that's gonna be a sequence, because he's saying so much, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't, like I said to you, everything is linking. So it's not, oh, there's speaking and then there's dark movement. It's mm-hmm. all telling the same story. It's an extension of each other. And so mm-hmm. we started with the interviews, and then I kind of spent the whole of my Christmas last year, just going through it and essentially breaking it down and understanding the story beats that we'd be aiming for in the film. Of course, you know, I broke it all down, and obviously as editing happens, you know, we shot stuff, didn't use it, and things didn't happen the way that I thought they would happen. Things grew, etc. So yeah, it was firstly interviews. Conversations with my composer are like continuous. It probably started from before the interviews. We would just speak about what were, you know, ideas that I'm thinking about, things I'm, you know, feeling. And we just send stuff between each other. So that's a continuous fluid thing. He'd then see the interviews as well. So then I started to break down the story and then think about movement sequences and think about storytelling structures, and then get into the studio, try things, play with things, strip things apart, workshop ideas movement wise, and then just start to find, then it's just thinking of, you know, cinematically of the shots that are happening as well, whilst during that process as well, and how the movement feeds into it and all the things feed into each other. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, The Circle then sounds like a very interesting title for the film, because it maybe also relates kind of to your working process, where kind of one thing infects the next thing and these things kind of are in constant movement. But I also wonder about the title, because there seem to be a number of meanings, and maybe there is one very, let's say, I wouldn't say obvious one, but where the term kind of finds its image is at the end of the film, when David and Sanchez are in this, I guess it's rehearsal room for dancing practices, and there are people basically forming a circle around them. But can you tell us, maybe apart from this image, why this idea of the circle interested you?
I'm laughing because I didn't come up with a title. They did. Uh-huh. It grew from our conversation. So we were sitting down, we're out for a meal, and it was called something else, a title that I won't even say, because every time I even think about it now, I'm like, God, that was just so, that was not so wrong. And I remember speaking to them, and they were speaking about two main things. And they were, the first thing, I don't know if it was in this order, but the first thing was about the circle of friends that they have, and the importance of the brotherhood and the friendships and the circle of people that they have in and around them, and how important that is to them. And then the other thing was, they went off to do, as part of a youth group, Hattie Quest, and they went off for this kind of weekend away, right? And they did this thing called the Heart Circle, where they would go into this circle and they'd speak about their emotions for the first time. And so they did this thing. They went into this circle, each, both of them, and they spoke about what was going on in their life. And for the first time, it was the first time they both cried. They both got emotional, and they allowed themselves to be emotional. Sanchez was like, hey, yeah, we should call this the circle. You know, that could be a good title. And I was just there in my head going, yes. And the important thing for it is, well, it's the circle of everything that happened in that moment. It's the fact that they mentioned the importance of the circle of their friends and brotherhood, which I knew was going to be an important part about of this anyway. They then talked about that moment that they had in the, you know, that was so important to them and in their lives. And they came up, they said the words that this could be the title. It's theirs. It's not mine. It doesn't become, it's theirs, you know, it's, and that's an important thing as well for me, is always opening and always looking outside of myself as well as looking in, you know, starting in, but then looking out. And I'm glad, I'm so glad that that moment happened and I was able to be present and to look out and to hear and to see, because it was them. They had it all. They have it all.
It's also a nice title, I feel, because it kind of describes the whole processes of how these ideas of basically framing people in a certain way happen and how they basically perpetuate themselves and keep on going and basically form a structure that, for example, people of color cannot get out of because of the representations that are put upon them. And I kind of felt your film seems to be an effort to kind of also break this circle, right? That's kind of the association I had.
Well, it's interesting because you've got this idea of the circle, which is this ever-flowing thing, right? And then the structure and the kind of that I was really interested in playing with cinematically, visually, is these boxes, because these men, people are put in these boxes of what society should, you know, what you are. You're seen as one thing. You're put in this box, and by the end of the film, that box gets bigger and bigger, right? And then also in the picture, by the end, see this circle. And so there's this kind of, there's this flip. There's this play that started to build from the discovery of the title and me knowing, I just knew, again, just felt that the box's idea was really resonating with me from the start, really.
Maybe as a final question, you talked about Hackney and you talked about how you grew up in there, and you mentioned things like, for example, the Olympics in Great Britain and things like that that often have an effect on these areas and gentrify them and so on. Could you maybe in a more broader sense tell us how you think at the moment the situation of people of color in Great Britain changes through the pandemic on the one hand, but on the other hand, with things like the upcoming Brexit and maybe under the leadership of Boris Johnson, how the situation changed?
How the situation changed from when?
I'm just interested in which what do you think, in which direction it is developing at the moment?
I mean, it's a really interesting question and in an interesting time. I'll say this. It's hard to speak about. It's hard to answer that question without understanding and speaking about the context of the world that we're living in right now, right? So, with COVID, I think for the first time, at least in my lifetime, I think for the first time there has been a universal sense, a heightened universal sense of empathy, that because we are all in this situation, suddenly we've all been forced to stop, and we are all hit with this thing that is stopping us from doing something, stopping us from living a life we want to live. And I think because of that, when things like the George Floyd murder happened, and there was this uprising, and suddenly online and in institutions, people were suddenly speaking up for the first time when this stuff has been happening for decades, you know, and, you know, police brutality is been a continuous thing. It's not new. But because everyone is suddenly stuck in home and can see and can feel more, everyone's feeling more, I'll tell you that. Suddenly things are people are like, oh, I can't hide from this. because we do a lot of hiding in life, don't we? We just keep going. We keep going, you know, we just keep going. And suddenly it's like, oh, I have to see this. And so I think there has been a, there's been some conversations that have not happened before. There's been organizations, institutions who are perking up, some of them for face value, which is sad. Some of them because they feel that they need to, which is what it is. Some of them are really genuine. You shouldn't get a pat on the back. No one should be getting a pat on the back because this is work that needs to be done. This is awareness that needs to be had. But I do feel like, yeah, there has been a shift in that, which is, of course, it's welcomed. And we'll see what happens in the, as time goes on, I guess, you know. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
No, it's I don't know. I just feel like it must mean something to people in a certain situation within a country like the UK, with someone like Boris Johnson as a prime minister, with a situation like COVID, with the idea of leaving the Brexit. To me, that all seems to be connected to people who... within a society that tends to have racist structures, are not in the best position. And I just yeah. wondered how you feel about it, because sometimes from Austria, for example, it's not, I do read The Guardian or things like that, but it's not as easy to actually understand what is going on.
Yeah, I think you've just said it. It's. I mean, we're living, it's, the structures are all messed up, really, and it's just working from the ground up. And you look at over the pond in America, and it's I don't know, change takes time, doesn't it? And, you know, crossing fingers that it's in my generation, but if not, then I think things are slowly but surely changing. I think, you know, the balance of power is shifting slowly, and yeah, things are not always easy, but this is it, you know. And this is why I make the work I do, to speak my truth and to help change, to initiate change, to initiate conversation, one film at a time, one theatre piece at a time, one whatever at a time it is that I do, you know? And so this is me doing my part. So, yeah.
Great. I'm happy we end on a positive note. thanks, Lanre, for your time. And I hope you have a nice day with your family. And I'm looking forward to seeing your next film.
Thank you. Thank you all. This is incredible. I'm so grateful.